Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to share your word. We thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit that you said you would give to each one of us if we would only ask. And this morning, we're here asking to know you. We thank you for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We've been studying since last week the four tools of evangelism. And we decided to start off with prayer. And Pastor Jeff last week shared a powerful sermon on prayer and how vital it is as we think of sharing the good news with others. And we even had a church member during second service say, we should be praying 1 minute a day for one person who we would like to invite to our meetings. And we thought that was a great practical thing we could all be doing as we approach our evangelistic meeting. And today I would like to share another one of those tools, the tool of the Holy Spirit. And in the bulletin it says, the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but how many of you like to do things on your own? Just work by yourself. You know, you don't have anybody telling you what to do and, you know, nobody keeping you accountable if you did it the right way or not. But I like to work with other people, and especially people who know what they're doing. And the Bible invites us to a very huge task, and that is to preach the word, to preach the gospel to an entire world. And we might be asking ourselves, how can we do this? Well, Pastor Sam, you went to school, you studied 4 years, and you must know how to do this. But, you know, I chose a different profession. When we go to Scripture, we find that God is inviting each one of us to reach out to the person next to us and invite them into a relationship with Jesus. How can I do this? And God has promised us His Holy Spirit. Words are powerful. Words can encourage us. Words can motivate us. Words can comfort us in moments of need. And there are some special words that we all like to hear, like, I love you. Yes? I think it's coming from a parent, from a sibling, a grandparent, a spouse, a friend. And these are words that we carry on since childhood, and they motivate us as we go through life. And the Word of God contains these beautiful words that encourage us and motivate us as we look at sharing the good news with others. We find that these are the four tools that we will be studying further on. We did fervent prayer last week, power of the Holy Spirit, personal effort, and tactful persuasion. Those are four tools we'd like to share with you in the coming weeks. And as we study this tool, the Holy Spirit, we want to look at three passages in particular. The first one, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And it's one that we all know well. It's called the Great Commission in our Bibles. And we find this in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we're going to read there, and we're going to find something related to power. Matthew 28, starting with verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And the word that caught my attention here in this passage in verse 18 is, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus received power, but a very different kind of power, I would say. When we hear the word CEO, we think of somebody who has power, authority. When we think of somebody who is an owner of a company, we think this is somebody who has power, who has ownership, authority. When we think of the word president or king, we think of power and authority. And the word that is used here is exousia in Greek, and it's the word for executive power. You even hear it, exousia, executive power, power to judge. And Jesus says, all executive power has been given to me. Therefore, make disciples. Make disciples, teaching them, baptizing them. When you go, when you come, make disciples. Jesus gave this commandment to his disciples, inviting them to trust in his authority. But praise God that he didn't send us by ourselves, amen? But he's promised the Comforter. He promised the Holy Spirit that would go with us and would teach us all the things that we must say. And we find this in our second passage found in the book of Acts, and we'll go there quickly. Acts chapter 1, and I want to start with verse 4. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. This is again Jesus right at the end of his ministry speaking to his disciples and giving them the promise of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. I'll put it on your screen as well for those who want to read it on the screen. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for what? For the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Don't leave this place until you have received power from above, as before you have received the Holy Spirit. Verse 6 tells us, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own exousia. The same power that was given to Jesus is the same executive power that the Father has. And he has determined a day, an hour, when he will return to establish his kingdom. He has determined a day and an hour where the fate of all of his creation will be known. But that is something, he told his disciples, is not for you to know. But verse 8, but you will receive power. And the word power here is different. It's dunamis. You will receive strength. You will receive energy. Because the work that I'm asking you to do is one that you're not just going to do once a week when you come to church. It's not one you're going to do just when we have evangelistic meetings at our church, but it's one that I'm going to ask you to do every day. At home, in your neighborhood, when you go to the store, when you go to work, everywhere you go, I'm going to ask you to do this job. To be a witness for me. And the way he put it here for his disciples, basically he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Wow, that's a lot of territory to cover, isn't it? And he's calling his disciples those who claim to know Jesus, those who claim to follow him, don't go out there by yourself. I will give you power from above. It's a gift. It's something I've promised you. And don't leave until you have received this power. The book of Acts, chapter 1 and chapter 2, tell us what the disciples were actually doing. They were praying for this power. They were coming together and studying God's word and saying, God, we need this power. There's no way we can tell others about you if you do not reveal this to us. And the reason why we need this power, brothers and sisters, is because where does change begin? It begins first with me. I need to change. I need that power. I need those fruits that the Holy Spirit is wanting to give. And one of those fruits is called what? Love. Is love powerful? We can say love can move mountains, right? Love can cross oceans. Love can go up to the highest peak. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. And then it mentions others like joy, like patience, like kindness. And in this manner, Jesus is inviting you and me to be his witnesses, to reflect his character, to tell people, hey, God can make a difference in your life. Look, I used to be like this. And you can say the things that you were before. But today I am different. Before, I did not even want to step inside a church. Today I want to go there because there I learn about God. I study his word. I praise him with others who, like me, have come to know him. And we find in the book of Acts that the promise of the Holy Spirit was given to his disciples, and they came and they prayed and they worshiped, asking for this power in order to be witnesses wherever they went. I want to go to one more text, and this is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, one that you know well. And the reason I want to go to this text is because it doesn't necessarily talk about power, but it does talk about the Holy Spirit. And it describes the Holy Spirit here in the context of love. John chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. And maybe before I go there, I want to share these two passages from Acts of the Apostles and page 30 and paragraph 2. Christ's visible presence was about to be withdrawn from the disciples, but a new endowment of power was to be theirs. A new what, brothers and sisters? A new endowment of power was to be theirs. The Holy Spirit was to be given them in its fullness, sealing them for their work, preparing them for their work, putting God's stamp on them in order to do their work, putting God's signature on their faces, on their hands, on their feet in order to do God's work. And so God was here saying, hey, you need this power. The reason the Savior knew that no argument, however logical, would melt hard hearts or break through the crust of worldliness and selfishness. He knew that his disciples must receive the heavenly endowment, that the gospel would be effective only as it was proclaimed by hearts made warm and lips made eloquent by a living knowledge of him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus' disciples would be so different. that they wouldn't have to say much. People would say, hey, that's a Christian. Look at the way they speak. Look at the way they act. Look at the way they treat one another. Look at the way they love each other. And people would say, hey, there's something different about you. Tell me, what is it? And then they would be able to expand on God's love. John chapter 14, verse 15 tells us, if you love me, you will obey what I command. If you love me, keep my commandments. And verse 16 says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. God's Holy Spirit can transform us, can it, brothers and sisters? It can change us. It can put in us feelings that some of us probably had never felt before. But when we came to know Jesus, things changed. Things were different. I have a friend of mine who some of you know, and about 14 years ago, he started to read his Bible. He wanted to know who God was. And just by, I wouldn't say coincidence, but I think it was a divine appointment, I was his neighbor. And Bruce Eisenhower started to read his Bible, and he wanted to know this God. The God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament. Who is this God? And on Wednesday, he called me, Sam, what's going on? I said, tell me, Bruce, what's on your heart? As I was walking today, and as I was walking, I was going by a home, and there were two roofers up there working away, boom, boom. And I heard one say to the other, hey, watch out. And the other one startled up, and he continued doing his work, but correcting himself from what he was doing. And he said, that impressed me, and that made me think, why can't we Christians say to this world, hey, watch out. Be careful. If you follow that path, it will destroy you. If you follow that path, you will hurt yourself. You will hurt others. Why can't we say that to one another? And then he expounded a little more. He said, I go to church, and it's hard for me to stand and sing with somebody else, all to Jesus I surrender. Then walk out and tell somebody, hey, let's go visit so-and-so. It's been a while since we've seen him. Or so-and-so is in the hospital. Why don't we go and pay them a visit? And they turn around and tell me, I'm sorry, but I'm too busy. I need to go to a basketball game. I'm too busy. I have to do this. Oh, this week I'm full of appointments. Sam, we're not surrendered. That's work that only the Holy Spirit can do in each one of us. And in his pleading, Bruce shared with me another story. And he told me that he had the opportunity of going with a friend of his to play golf. And I know golf doesn't seem like a very spiritual thing to do. But he said, you know, I wanted to talk to this person. I want to spend time with my friend. I wanted to just, you know, hang out and be out in nature. And he invited a friend of his to this golf course. And as they were waiting their turn to start the game, there was a person ahead of them all by himself. And he thought, well, as soon as he's done, we're up next and we can start our game. But this person turned around and said, hey, do you guys mind if I join you? And he looked at his friend and he thought, oh, that's going to be different. The game's going to be a little longer. We're not going to be able to talk as much as we wanted to, maybe. But they both decided yes. And he says he doesn't really know why. Again, God's Holy Spirit. And this person turned around and said, hey, today is my birthday. How cool. And my wife has cancer. And I take care of her. She needs a lot of care. And she told me that today, because it's my birthday, I should go out and I should relax and I should have a great time and do something that I enjoy doing. So I came out to the golf course. When they heard this, they said, wow, divine appointment, opportunity to pray. And so there they prayed for this man and his wife, and they prayed to God that God would be with them and bring healing, bring peace, bring comfort to this person. And as they were there, they then finished the prayer and they continued playing. And he said, Sam, it wasn't about the score anymore. We weren't playing to see who was the best golfer. We were just talking. We were having a great time. We were sharing with one another. We were talking about the Bible. We were giving each other encouragement. And at the end of the game, the guy came back and said, wow, I can't wait to go back to see my wife and tell her what a great day I had with two Christian men. Can't wait to go back and tell my wife. God is inviting us to share the good news that we found in Jesus. Amen? And he doesn't want us to do this by ourselves, because we can't. I don't know about you, but I get tired. I lack strength. I lack wisdom in what to say, what not to say, when to say it, when not to say it. But God is willing to give us that, isn't he? And more than what we ask. If we will listen. In fact, if we go to the end of Scripture, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we find here the Holy Spirit, once again, together with the church, making an invitation. Revelation chapter 22. Or 22 and verse 17. I'm reading from the New International Version, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. In my Bible, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. What does the Spirit and the bride say? Come. What does that mean to you when somebody says, come? They're inviting you, right? Come. And that's exactly what the Spirit and the bride say. They say, come, I'm inviting you. And let him who hears, let her who hears, let us who hear say what? Come. I invite you to know this Jesus. I invite you to know this God. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, let him receive the water of life freely. Do we have something great to offer this world, brothers and sisters? We have something great to offer. What we found life in Jesus Christ. What a privilege God has given us to tell the world, hey, there's something called life. Life eternal. And it's free. You don't have to pay for it. You just have to accept it. You just have to receive it. Is that something people are wanting to hear today? Yes. It was this week again. It was, I believe, Wednesday. And our Bible workers have been working very hard. They've been going out, inviting people to know Jesus, inviting people to our meetings. And I received a call from someone who received a little glow track. You know what a glow track is? Just a little piece of paper with a message inside. And the person who called said, "Hello, I received a letter from Jesus." A letter from Jesus. Yes. Who are you? And I told them, we are Seventh-day Adventist Christians. Where are you located? We're located in Fallbrook. And I asked, where are you located? I'm in Temecula. I asked, would you like to come to our church? She said, yes. What's your name? Lima. Lima, would you like us to visit you too? Yes. What was in that pamphlet? Just Bible verses. That's all it contains. Bible verses talking about God's amazing love. And there was someone who was wanting to know more about that God who loves us so much, that he not only gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, but he's also promised us and given us his Holy Spirit. Amen? Could we ask for anything more, brothers and sisters? Could we say, God, you still need to give me this or that? He's promised us strength. He's promised us the fruits of his Spirit so that we can do the task that he has given each one of us to do. Can we say that he's given us power to do this work? He's given us power to do this work. And we find in Scripture, all these are passages that contain more things about the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13 is one of my favorite ones there because it basically tells us how we can receive the Holy Spirit. And basically it's just pray, just ask, and you will receive him. Ephesians 1:13 and 4:30 tell us about the Holy Spirit task of sealing us for this work. In the book of Romans, we find the Holy Spirit interceding for our prayers on behalf of us before God. Sometimes we don't know what to ask, right? God, I think this is what we need in order to fulfill this great commission. But the Holy Spirit interprets those prayers that we send up and says, what Sam is really saying is he needs this in order to complete the task that needs to be done. And so these are all passages that talk to us about the work of the Holy Spirit. We're not alone, are we, in doing this work? And sometimes we might feel that way. Sometimes we might feel there's only two, three of us. On Wednesday, we had about 40 people who came, Pastor Jeff. 40 people who came to this place to pray. It was powerful, just sharing with one another. There's a great work to be done. And we know that we can't do this by ourselves. We need God's Holy Spirit. And the neat thing is that we can have his Holy Spirit. Yes, it will change us. It will challenge us. It will encourage us. It will motivate us. God says it's not by might or by power, human power, but by my Holy Spirit, saith the Lord. And when God speaks to us, things happen, brothers and sisters. Hearts are changed. Hearts are transformed. Do you want to receive His Holy Spirit? I do. I need His Holy Spirit. It's the only way we're going to be able to fulfill the great commission of going out to a dying world and telling them about this free water of life. Making that invitation. And all who come can receive it. Is that good news? It's great news. Imagine here in Southern California, talk about water. And it's living water. It's great news. And we have the great privilege of sharing this with all those around us. By God's grace, we will do it this year, 2015. Amen? Amen.